Mr. Albert Pittman, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Pittman?
Yes. I was born May the 6th, 1918. With what was then 3 Asylum Road, Milton, Portsmouth. The house is still there, but it's now 6 Loxway Road.
Could you tell us a bit about your family background?
Yes, my father died on May the 23rd, 1919. And my mother was left with 3 boys and a girl to bring up. There's no widow's pension in those days. She was given 15 shillings a week parish relief, for which she had to be of good behaviour. And she made a living by going out charring in the mornings and taking in washing for the rest of the day. She used to work really hard and she brought us up the best way she could. When I was 5, I suffered double pneumonia and whooping cough together. And when I was 10, I suffered a fractured skull, ruptured eardrum, face on earth. I went to an elementary school till I was 12. I then passed the entrance exam for the Portsmouth Junior Technical School. But unfortunately, my mother couldn't afford the fee, which was 6 guineas a year, which was quite a lot of money in those days, to us anyway. So eventually I was awarded a scholarship by the council, which I had to maintain a certain standard at school. When I was 15, I passed the entrance examination to the artificer apprentices.
Now, can I just ask you about, were there any subjects you particularly excelled at or didn't excel at school?
Well, the technical school then, it was purely a technical education. We did 6 hours a week mathematics. When I left at the age of 15, I was proficient in differential and integral calculus. We did 6 hours a week machine drawing, 6 hours a week in a metal workshop. No, sorry, I beg your pardon, 3 hours a week in a metal workshop, 3 hours a week in a wood workshop. We did 6 hours a week mechanics, 3 hours a week physics, 3 hours a week chemistry, and 3/4 of an hour English.
That was very much the way you were. Was it something you were interested in as well as you had to do?
Yes, I was always very good at mathematics. And I was interested also in history. And in a little later in life, one of my main interests was to study religion, all religions, though I'm not religious myself.
Now, was your mother able to cope with the money problems and such like? I mean, were you well fed and provided for in that sense?
Yes, and we had pretty simple fare. one of her sisters was married to a butcher who used to give us a joint for Sunday. This was a big brand of beef. So we had roast beef on Sunday, cold beef on Monday, stew on Tuesday. And for the rest of the week, we had things like shepherd's pie. And you could go to the fishmonger and you could get a huge piece of saltfish for 2d old money. Yes, we ate all right.
And clothing, well fed?
Oh, well, clothing, we had a lot given to us. I was allowed 1 pair of boots a year from a charity organisation called the Brotherhood. But I always remember at one embarrassing moment at school, my mother was given a pair of shoes for me. I didn't realise I had a girl's shoes. And I was made to look rather silly.
What about, how had you fractured your skull?
At the back of what is now Loxley Road, on the bed of the old canal, which is where my mother was born, there was a corporation bus depot. and they were the old original double-decker buses, huge things. And we used to, when they went down the road, we used to jump on them and catch a lift to the corner. And I jumped off one day and I was facing the wrong way and I fell backwards onto the pavement.
So that was. How did it take long to get better?
About 4 months.
Did it interrupt your education badly, or?
Well, it did, yes, because I was at elementary school then, but I was able to catch up.
Obviously, yeah. Mm. Now, what about what made you decide to want to go to the ERA school at the Fiskard? What was it that made you want to apply? Or was it just your mother's
idea? Well, as a young man, I used to stand on Stacey, sorry, not a young man, a youth, stand on Stacey front and look out to sea and think how nice it would be to travel and see the world.
And that was the way you were. Now, what was the entrance exam?
The entrance exam was quite sane mathematics and general knowledge. And what was the other one? Oh, and you could take one other subject, I think it was. I took history or something.
And what were you actually, when did you go, and what was the institution we're actually going to, if you get its formal title?
HMS Fiskard at Chatham. It had originally been the old detention quarters.
And when did you go? What was your...
January the 2nd, 1934.
And what were your first impressions on arriving?
Discipline was pretty strict. You had to double everywhere, and we were also, as A class boys, made to.
What's A class?
That was the first class. We were made to fag for the senior class. The senior class, which was J class, used to just yell, "Boy!" And you were expected to run and get whatever they wanted.
Did you object to that? Well, I mean.
No, it was because my turn came. We thought it was all part of life, you know.
What about the uniform? What uniform and kit did they give you?
We were given a 4.5 rig.
Could you just explain what that is for them?
Well, yes, that's not a Matlow's rig, but a jacket and trousers, narrow trousers and peak cap. But you wore a red cap badge and black buttons.
And what kit?
Oh, we were given two of everything. Everything you wanted for the kit, yes, you were given. And then after that, you were given what was known as a clothing allowance, and you had to purchase your own.
Now, what was your? How were the classes organised?
You were organised for. So there were so many ERAs, so many OAs, and so many EAs. The ERAs were the most common. Then came the OAs and EAs in a very equal number.
And what did these things say? The engine room?
Engine room artificer, ordnance artificer, electrical artificer.
And how was it decided which one you were going to go in? Do you see what I mean?
Well, you put down your preference. And then you were either chosen, you either got your chosen preference or whatever was available.
And what did you choose and what did you...
I chose ERA, EA, and finally OA. And I couldn't understand it because I was, I think, 16th in my entrance in my class of 70. 16th in the entrance exam, and yet I was not given my choice.
Did you ever find out why that was?
Well, yes, they said they had to distribute them equally, like the bright ones and the dull ones, into the different...
So they couldn't have all the bright ones in the ERA?
No, that's right.
And dullards?
I think most people chose ERA because it was the biggest branch and more likely to get promotion.
Before we go on to look at the training, what about your accommodation? Were you in barracks, or what were you in?
Well, we were put in what were called dormitories, and we had a steel bed, two blankets and a couple of pillows, and a big seaman's chest at the bottom of the bed.
Was it an old barracks, or was it a modern hut?
No, it was quite modern. It had only just been... It was the site of the old detention quarters, but it had only just been modernised. And the old Fist Guard was at Portsmouth. They were transferred over to Chatham. I think it had only taken place about a couple of years before.
How many were in the dormitory?
I think there were 70 of us. Sort of.
It's a big room.
Oh, yes, but there were two classes in that room. A and B class were both there. It was a very long dormitory.
And would you have an NCO of some sort, you know, a petty officer or a leading seaman in there with you?
No, we had what were known as petty officer apprentices. They were apprentices from senior classes. It started at G class, who promoted to petty officer apprentice, and they wore a chevron and a star on their arm. And, they were rather like prefects.
So there'd be one of them in with you, or a couple in?
Yeah, well, there'd be one, what we called a chief hook.
And hook?
Hook. And a couple of single ones.
And what if we sort of look at the daily routine, you know, and sort of look at the training in that, you know, how would your day start?
Well, we were called about 6 o'clock. We went to breakfast at 7.
What was the food like?
Well, plentiful, quite plentiful. You had a cereal to start with. Then you probably had perhaps bacon and egg or one. What was the one? Oh, what, sausage and mash? Something like that. It was quite a substantial breakfast.
And just looking at the rest of the food, picking it up while we're going.
Substantial lunch again. Soup, followed by a main meal. Steak and kidney pud, which only Navy cooks could have ruined the way they used to. It was always very greasy. Also, just ordinary meals and a sweet afterwards.
Plenty.
Plenty, yeah.
And what about tea or in the
evening? Oh, tea was, that was quite a light meal. That was only just a cup of tea and perhaps a slice of bread and butter. But then you had an evening meal, supper.
And what would that be?
Oh, that would be another cooked meal again.
Another heavy-ish meal?
Yes, quite a good meal.
And same sort of things. And the food, I mean, you mentioned the steak and kidney pudding were ruined, but was it reasonably good food, reasonably cooked mostly?
Oh, yes, it was.
So no complaints?
No.
Now, after you'd had your breakfast, we'll go back to the time thing, what would happen after breakfast?
Oh, the same fall-in would go at 8 o'clock. We would then fall in on parade and march behind a drum and fife band down into Chatham Dockyard, where we would go to the workshops.
That's quite a march, was it?
Yes, quite a good march, yes.
And that was to, was that to the mechanical training establishment on St Mary's Island?
That's right, yes.
And what, could you describe the mechanical training? Yeah, St Mary's, what was it like
down there? Well, for the first 2 years you did fitting. And the first job you got was a piece of... steel bolt stave, about 2 inches diameter, and from you were given a hammer and two chisels. That was a cross cut chisel, which is a narrow chisel and a wide chisel, and you had to mark out a hexagon on this piece of bolt stave and chip it out with hammer and chisel. I never did get the reason for this, because I never had to...
Wasn't that difficult as well? I mean...
Oh, yes, it was.
Had you had any experience with hammer and chisel work?
Well, I had, because I'd been to the technical school, where we'd done 3 hours a week mechanical training.
So you'd done this sort of chiselling to precise measurements and things?
That's right, yes.
Was this an actual trade test, or was it just an exercise?
No, this was just an exercise.
Did you enjoy that sort of thing, or did you find it...
No, I had pretty sore hands, right?
So that was the first job. What you were on fitting, what was the next sort of...
Well, you had to file that hexagon up. In the end, file it and make it a true hexagon.
So it's hammer, chisel and file work.
That's right. And then you were given all other sort of, like making a square piece of metal and then filing a square hole in and fitting the square in, and then with ream pieces. And for the first 2 years, you did fitting different jobs. And at the end of that 2 years, you had a trade test.
Now, what were the trade tests?
The trade test...
This is as a fitter.
Yeah, this was quite a difficult one. You first of all had to make a hexagon out of a piece of cast iron, which is quite brittle, and then make another hexagon out of mild steel, and then you had to fit the mild steel hexagon eccentrically into the cast iron one. And you had to be very careful because it was eccentric. And two of the sides were very thin. And you could easily split that cast iron.
But you managed it all right.
Yes, that was known as doubles.
Sounds difficult. I mean, you know, really difficult.
Oh, it was, yes. I think we were overtrained, actually.
In what way? Can you explain?
I never had to use a lot of those skills again.
What other work were you doing? Or was it just hammer, chisel and file work in this 2 years?
Oh, yes. Oh, no, sorry, no, we did drilling. We did so many weeks on drilling. Drilling holes.
What with?
Well, great big drills. Drilling anything up to an inch and a half hole and that sort of thing.
Was there any particular skill in that? Or?
Oh, yes, because it's not so easy to drill a hole exactly where you want it.
So that was the skill rather than...
Yes, you had...
Were they manual drills or electric
power? Oh, no, power drills. Driven by belt and pulley. I always remember we had a drilling instructor called Pincher Martin. And you were supposed to put a vegetable oil on it to keep it cool. And sometimes you used to come and spit on us. Put some oil on it.
Any other things you were taught in this time?
No, then in the last two years...
Oh, hang on, there's other thing. Did you have maths and engineering educational classes as well?
Oh, yes, sorry, I forgot to mention that, yes. Oh, yes.
When would they take place? Would they be at St Mary's Island or would they be back...
No, they were back in Fisgard where you had a schoolroom. And most of that repeated what I'd been taught at the technical school. It went all through maths again, and mechanics, and technical drawing, and we used to do this in the evenings, between tea and the evening meal, and also sometimes we used to attend class in the afternoons. This was with naval schoolmasters. But an interesting subject we did do, which I hadn't done before, was naval history. And we heard all about Professor Callender, and we used to read his books. Have you come across Professor Callender? He was a famous naval historian.
Well, what was the point of teaching you naval history, do you think? I mean, I probably think I can see, but what would you think it was?
To act in the good traditions of the Navy, I don't know. To make you very patriotic.
Did they go right back, or was it or concentrate on Nelson's time and before that? Or
oh, yes, right,
or was
right
it
back.
Jutland
yes,
as
yes,
well?
Yes, right back, yes. Yes, this is where I get interest in ensigns and that sort of thing. I always remember our schoolmaster who taught naval history was a great big man known as Teddy Brain, because Teddy Brain was the...
what about... did you have any PT...
Oh yes, one afternoon a week, PT.
What sort of physical training would you do?
Oh, vaulting horse, parallel bars, swinging on ropes, boxing. I've still got nose trouble now from boxing.
And cross country runs?
They used to have a cross country race every year, yes. Out of Fiskard, up at, down to, what's the name of the next place to Chatham? I can't think of the name of it now.
It's all right, come back.
And then back over the Danes, over St Mary's Hill and back again.
Was that just once a year, or would you go regularly, shorter ones?
Well, some people did, but there was a whole, the whole school had a cross-country run once a year.
And any sport?
Oh, yes. You had to play a winter sport and a summer sport.
Which did you choose?
I played rugby in the winter and tennis in the summer.
Were you any good, or did you like sport?
I think I was quite good at rugby. I used to play hooker. And my best sport was fencing, sabre, fall and epee.
How'd you got into that? Was that when you were there, or?
Yes, there, they used to teach it, yes. And we used to go up to London and fence against St Bart's and Guy's. We also used to go up and play rugby against them. And I've had many of them. A good evening out with the young doctors, I'm just saying. They'd go around take you around the pubs, and they used to draw the beer in big jugs.
Did you do much drill? I mean, foot drill.
Oh, yes. For the first fortnight you joined, I forgot to mention this, you did parade training. And this was down on the square in Chatham Barracks, which was down in a big dip. And it was in January, and my God, Chatham is cold in January. And your hands were chapped open or not.
Did you see the point in drill at the time? You might do now, but at the time, did you know why you were being put through this?
Well, yes, I suppose it was to teach you to act on order and not question.
And what about rifle, small arms training? Did you have any of that?
Only drill, you know, but not actual firing.
Not actual, you didn't know how to fire a rifle, you didn't get taught the rifle.
No, there was a 2.2 rifle range you could go to if you wanted to, but I was never interested much in shooting.
How did you get on with your instructors, and how competent or sympathetic were they?
Well, the instructors were nearly all chief stokers and whatnot. They didn't like our differences.
Why not?
Well, we were known as Tiffies. A bit snobbish, because originally we had worn brass buttons, and apparently I was before my time. They got a bit above themselves because they wanted to wear a sword as well, and the Admiralty wouldn't wear this one, and they even took their brass buttons away from
us. And did this dislike of Tiffies, did it show in any way with the instructors?
Yes, I think it did. Yes, they didn't.
How? What sort of?
Well, they were rather heavy on you. They'd poke fun at you. I mean, for instance, once when we were doing parade training, I couldn't get my bayonet out. And the instructor said, well, you're supposed to be a technician, you should know how to get it out. Yes, they didn't like us very much.
Did they actually bully, or was it just...
Well, I think, yes, some of them were inclined to be a bit bullyish, and so were some of the senior classes. I remember once having to push a matchstick across the programme on my nose.
Who made you do that?
The senior class.
Were there any other examples of bullying from the senior class?
Yes, I was made to run up and down some steps once, and two of these J class stood above them. When I got to the top, they said, who do you like best out of us two? And I said, both of you. They said, don't be a liar, run up and down again until you make your mind up. So when I got up, they said, who do you like best now? I said, you. He said, what's wrong with me then? Run up and down. Yes, they did. Some of them were. It wasn't very nice at all.
And when you became senior, did you bully in turn?
No. No. Even as an officer,
Would that be a general point on your whole class? Was bullying being eradicated, or was it just yourself?
No. There were quite a few bullies.
in your year when they got senior, they
well, I only remember one real bully. That was a chap called Blondie. He was a huge chap, and he was a bully. You know.
So when he got to be senior, he got his own back on...
Well, no, he was rotten to the smaller members of his own class.
As well? And do you remember from that time Arthur Shaw, who we also interviewed? I mean, do you remember him at the time?
Oh,
I know
yes,
you know him now.
Yes.
I mean, did you get on well at the time? Or did you?
Oh, yes, we were always quite friendly, yes.
Did you get on with most of the your fellow recruits?
Yes. Very well.
Were they from the same sort of background as yourself, or were there differences?
Well, some of them had come from a better-off background, but I don't think there were many differences, no.
And would you socialise with them?
Well, yes, I used to go ashore with them and whatnot.
What would happen when you went ashore?
Well, we were only allowed ashore on Saturday and Sunday afternoons, and we had to be back by 9 o'clock.
What would you do ashore?
Well, we only had, given our pay was 4 shillings a week, that's 20p. So we used to go to the cinema, which you could get quite a good seat for 60 olds on it. And then come out of there and go into the Sailor's Rest, and you could get steak, eggs and chips for 90 old man. And then probably walk up and down the high street and flirt with a few girls.
In Chatham itself?
In Chatham, yes. And then be back. Oh, by the way, I've just thought of the name of the town next to Chatham, Gillingham.
Of course. And did you drink? I mean, you'd be underage, but did you or many of the lads drink?
Yes. And beer was four-day-old money, a pint.
And you'd drink underage, would you?
Yes.
The pubs would serve you?
Well, yes. Not when you were 15, no. But when you got to 17, you got away with it.
Would you drink much or just a pint or two?
Oh, probably no more than a pint, because you would be detected. by the way, for smoking under the age of 18, the punishment was to be marched into the gym in your gym rig, put across a bolting horse, and given a 6 across the backside with a cane by the master at arms. That was only for smoking.
Did you smoke?
No. No, I didn't start smoking till later on, and I never smoked a pipe. And I gave that up when I was about 50, so. My first wife died at 30 of cancer.